Yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, text number 6. Savai Pum Sam. Puro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Ahok Saje Ahoy Tuki Apatiyata Yayatma Supersiyati Masum sam paro dharmo Yato bhakti ahoksaje Ahai tuki apratiyata Yayatma supersiyati Tapum so paro dharmo Yatma supersiyati Gumsa or Dharma Bhaktir Ahoksaje Yavatiyata Yayatma supersiyati Matum so paro dharmo Pira hoksaje try it. Savai pumso paro dharmo yatat bhaktir ahoksaje no bhaktir ahoy tuki apratiyata yayatma supersiyati ladies. Dharma Bhaktir Ahoksaje Atma Supersiyati Gunsa Rava Dharma Bhaktir Ahoksaje Hai tukiya vatiyata Yayatma supersiyati Sa that by certainly punsam for mankind para sublime dharma occupation yata by which bhaktir devotional service ahok saje unto the transcendence ahoy tuki causes apratiyata, unbroken. Jaya, by which Atma, the Self, supersiyati, completely satisfied. Thank you, Brent. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The supreme occupation, Dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can obtain true loving devotional service under the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. We can repeat responsively. The supreme occupation, Dharma, for all humanity, is that by which men can obtain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. And here's the purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this statement, Sri Sukadeva Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Nami Sharanya. What's the ultimate benefit? The sages ask him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that the fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called Pravritti Marga, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called Nirvritti Marga, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence or Brahma-Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just futile attempt to get rid of miseries, and temporary cessation of miseries is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads to eternal, blissful, and all-cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for the ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increase its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality. Example, without the least desire for material enjoyment, one should, therefore, accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruit of action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. We have purposely denoted Dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word Dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's substance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is all attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and served is the most congenial form of intimacy. Thank you. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditioned state of material existence. With that will gradually, give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jana Ajana Anjana Salakaya Chaksumari Tanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Sarito Pangor Mamamanda Matirgati Matsarvasva Patambo Jo Radha Madana Mohano. This is such an incredible verse. There's could be spoken about in many different ways. I was thinking of it as this is a sadhana verse because it says it's talking about your occupation by which one can obtain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. So this is quite similar to the nutshell verse in the Bhagavatam, etavadeva jignatvam, that it's talking about what you do in this lifetime that will produce prema bhakti. That's what it's about. Here it's called loving devotional service. We're talking about the prema bhakti, that this is the goal of life. So this is being summarized. And we should think for a minute, how is this verse useful for me today, the immediacy of we're hearing this verse today from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We've come here as part of our sadhana, and now it's focusing is once again for us to think about not being many branched, but being focused on what is the goal. This is telling us what the goal is, and also in a very simple way we could think also that this Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita there's two different natures, an inferior nature and a superior nature. And the living entity, he belongs to the superior nature. So in the 11th canto, chapter 10, verse 8, it's a very interesting analogy being given by Krishna to Uddhava, where he says, you see flames coming out of wood, but you should no one would ever consider the flames and the wood the same. They're different. So the same way, there's consciousness coming out of the living entity. The living entity is compared to earth, water, fire. It's made of these same elements that the wood is made of. So we should never consider the living entity and consciousness the same, just like you would never consider fire and wood the same. So we're understanding that we're the consciousness in this body, and that Krishna has different potencies. And these potencies are potent to produce an effect. So presently we're finding out that we're in a conditioned state of existence where we've come to identify with the dirt, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and the false ego. Actually, the false ego is the first element, and all the rest are expansions of that element. So today, because we've accepted this idea that we're eternal, consciousness is eternal, went over very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, can't cut it, doesn't wither by the wind, can't be moistened. We understand that that's who we are. So as soon as one accepts that, that's self-realization. And there's a continuation in self-realization as one progresses in his sadhana of hearing from the authorities, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And our consciousness is developing, our self-realization is developing, just like it says in chapter 15, verse 11. It says, the endeavoring transcendentalist who's situated in self-realization. So that means you're situated in self-realization even while you're endeavoring in self-realization. So we're understanding these points. We're the consciousness, and there's different influences upon our consciousness that's causing reactions. So here, when it mentions unmotivated and uninterrupted, these words are very significant because it's pointing out, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, the Brahma-Bhuta stage. So in the Brahma-Bhuta stage, unmotivated, it says, Brahma-Bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kanchati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. So it's talking about gaining labhate param to the transcendence by this process of sadhana that we're following. And just like it mentions na sochati na kanchati, that has to do with the material nature. Someone asked me one time, how do you feel? You know how people say that. And I'm a combination of a wise guy and trying to remember Krishna consciousness. So I said, well, how do I feel? I'm Satchidananda, but I got a touch of the material energy. And you know how that'll make you feel, like you could die. So it was kind of, it had many different elements. It had the element that we are Satchidananda, but we have a touch of this material energy. So the whole purpose of the sadhana, the whole purpose of knowledge, the whole purpose of this material world is so you can see what is material energy and what is the spiritual energy and what is your choice to pick. This is our that's our sambandha. That's where we're understanding our relationship with Krishna. And here it's talking about also not only your sambandha, what your relationship is, but what do you do? What is your sadhana, your abhideya, that's going to produce this prayojana, this love of God? That's the goal of what we're doing, is develop, reawakening Nityasiddha Krishna Prema. It's situated within us, but it's covered presently. And an interesting thing to note is that everything that the conditioned soul does in the material nature, covered by the material nature, because his consciousness is still there, he's trying to find the spiritual nature. He's looking for happiness. Ananda moya biyasat. That is our nature. We have to always be looking for that happiness. That's what we do. But if you don't have any knowledge to tell what is material, what is spiritual, who's the controller of both, you have no knowledge, then you look for that same happiness in the material nature. Everyone's forced to act helplessly looking for this. They're forced because by our nature, we want to be happy. That's how we're built. We're chip off the old block, so to speak. We're part and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna, he's always happy. He has his Ladini Shakti right next to him. He's always happy. And this is our nature also, to be in this constitutional position. But we have a choice. If Krishna says, you can serve me, Or would you like to be like me? Would you like to be the enjoyer, independent enjoyer? So I said, let me think about that for a moment. Here, time immemorial later, Krishna, that reminds me. I have two little clips of, I couldn't memorize it completely, but this was taken from a lecture that Prabhupada gave in 1975 in Vrindavan. And I wanted to read that to us because my wife Vrindavan, she's always very fond of saying this statement by Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that Krishna, what's he say? Krishna wants you. Could you say it one time? You say it so nicely. Nice and loud so everybody can hear you. So this point that Krishna wants you, he wants you. So you can see how it's carried my wife for 45 years. Actually, yesterday was my 45th anniversary being initiated here and just in the next room by Prabhupada. So I was thinking about that. And there's certain things that they carry, they keep you going year after year. Krishna wants you. Of course, my nature is, I'd say, God only knows why, but Krishna wants you. So here's something like that. So I'm going to read a little bit, the last like 2 minutes of a lecture that Prabhupada gave on April 24th, 1975. Pure consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to understand that I am very much intimately connected with Krishna as part and parcel. So that's what he said. Pure Krishna consciousness means I am very much intimately connected with Krishna as part and parcel. And just like my fingers intimately connected with my body, intimate. If there is little pain in the finger, I become so much disturbed because I've got intimate connection with his finger. Similarly, we have got intimate connection with Krishna, and we are fallen. Therefore, Krishna feels little pain. This was shocking when I read that. Therefore, Krishna feels little pain. And therefore, he comes down. Where is 4:8? Where Krishna comes, Yuge comes again and again. Krishna is feeling pain. So you become Krishna conscious and Krishna will feel pleasure. That is this Krishna consciousness movement. Thank you very much. And that was Prabhupada. So there, Krishna wants us back home. He knows we're suffering. He feels that as pain, just like in this world, there's a reflection of that. Actually, everything is a reflection in this world. And the reflection is sometimes, more times than not, there's also children. We've grown up, and the children may be doing some nonsense thing. And the parent is always feeling some difficulty from that. Are they eating right? Are they now, how are they going to, some difficult situation. So that Krishna wants us back home. And here, he's coming in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, giving us sadhana, how to get out of the touch of this material energy. Anytime this material energy is touching us because of our contamination with it, we're suffering. Krishna also feels that because of his intimate connection with us, just like when your children are suffering, you also feel something. So we're doing this. And then here's a nice example. The same point is made throughout the Bhagavad Gita, throughout the Bhagavatam. What is this material energy? We're not part of this material energy. How to get out of this material energy? Staying focused on this is the only thing that will ever satisfy. Prabhupada said it right here. There's no happiness in this world. What we take as happiness is just the momentary relief of the distress, because just like if you're very hungry and you're passing a restaurant and you're looking at the window glass, you can see it but you can't touch it. You can't ashnute, you can't actually eat what you're seeing. So of course ashnute is a Sanskrit word, and it also means enjoying, eating. It's used quite a few places. Bhagavad Gita 13:13, Krishna says, I'll give you a taste of the eternal by understanding what is Brahman, that you're alive. You can never not be alive. I made this one bumper sticker that says, you're eternal. You can't get out of it by dying. You know, everybody's eternal. So we have to understand, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. So first class intelligence is that we understand somehow or other we've come in contact with this material energy. And through understanding this knowledge, we're different from this material energy. We now have the mercy by Srila Prabhupada to be engaged in devotional service and systematically becoming purified. So I'm going to read one more thing here. Now this is from, this is something that's quite fascinating. The first thing that I memorized or I learned, I was brahmachari in, it used to be the next building over now where the store is, it'd be upstairs in the corner room was the brahmachari ashram. And the teachings of Lord Chaitanya was out. Some of the other books at the Chaitanya Charitamrita wasn't out. And I remember reading this, and I thought, this is so nice. Okay, so we understand that as soon as we're finished with this material energy, as it mentions here, unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy itself, that means you're out of the material energy. Just like 13.5, it says, all the Vedas, it's all explained in reference to cause and effect. But this does not have a cause. This is natural. This is our natural condition of love between the living entity. The cause generally means motivation. So there's no motivation. And then when it says uninterrupted, oh, that's another verse that just popped in mind, 4:26. So before we do 4:26, we'll do 4:22 through 25. And this is it always helps me so much to remember in a humble way for 14:22. This is talking about the modes of nature. And sometimes we talk around subjects, but we don't exactly say what it is. So this 14:22 explains what is one who's free from the modes of nature. Because these modes of nature, this is what we're conditioned by. Everyone's overwhelmed by these modes of nature. So 14:22 through 25, then I'll read 26. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, he who does not hate illumination, attachment, or delusion when they're present, nor long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all the reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self, and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks on a lump, a stone, a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person who is said to have transcended the modes of nature. So that's what happens, just like, maybe I'll get back to that. And then 26 is, everybody's familiar, Brahma Bhuyopa Kopate, that for one who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of nature and comes to the level Brahman. So this is where we're heading. And in the fifth chapter, it also explains how one is aloof, even though he's seeing, speaking, moving about. He only knows it's just the modes are engaged and the senses with their objects. So he's aloof from them. And then it explains how that works with your... It's happening right now. We do that by accepting those things favorable and rejecting those things unfavorable. We're dissolving or digesting our material existence by this surrender. So I wanted to get back to just read this one thing because it was so nice. What Krishna wants from us is Krishna's, one of his names is Arasaraj. We're meant, just like in this world, people have children thinking that it's going to bring them happiness. Krishna, we're parts and parcels of Krishna, and our constitutional position is providing happiness for Krishna. When we're happy, when Krishna's happy, we're happy. So we're learning how to always be happy. Just like sometimes I look over Lord Jagannath, he always has such a nice smile, and he has his eyes are so wide open. What is he looking at? He's looking at the quality of the loving exchanges between the living entities, or Shakti, and him that are being exchanged. This is our nature. This is what will make us happy. So, I'm going to read this one verse. All right. So this is kind of picking up at 7:19. It says, such a person can understand that Krishna is present in everything and distributed all over the cosmic manifestation. Generally, devotees, we understand that Isha Vaisha, everything is Krishna's. In fact, in his all-pervasive feature, this is all Krishna. In fact, it says that the total material substance is called Brahman. So everything is Krishna. It's just a cloud in the spiritual sky. So, although everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord and is situated in his energy, everything, nonetheless, is different from Krishna's personal form. Okay. So then, it's talking about this... this idea that you can understand that everything is Krishna, that's the start, in one sense, of this nishta. Then you still have ruchi, ashakti, bhava, and prema. But here it's talking, the stability of mind can be achieved. So we're talking about the stability. We don't like it when the mind, chanchala, jumps all over the place. By one who has concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of everything. And when one can control his senses, that is called sama. And when one is ready to tolerate all kinds of suffering in order to control the senses and keep the mind steady, that's called tradiksha. So now we have sama, that the intelligence is fixed, how everything is Krishna. He has his different potencies. I'm overcoming my attachments by knowledge of understanding that this is the external energy, and I'm focusing my mind. But when you're ready to tolerate, that's going to be hard. So it says you have to be, psyched up. You have to be enthusiastic to be able to tolerate what's going to be our learning experiences. In this world, many people think that there's difficulties, but for a devotee, it's not difficulties. There's a nice purport on that in 1919, if someone wants to look it up, but it says that the difficulties for a devotee are a type of bhava to be exchanged between the Lord and the living entity. and his purification. So just like we know right in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Marta Sparsa Kuntaya, one has to learn how to tolerate it. That's not just holding your holding it back. It means you're learning how to see Krishna in all his different features in that. So, and the next verse, 215, says, if you can learn how to be equal, where here we're talking about ahoy tukiya patiyata, then you can be liberated. So we know that liberated was the Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. He's beginning there. He's liberated at that stage. So how is it that he does that? That's the 10.14.8 verse, Tatenu Kampam. That even though you're undergoing some suffering, you're still offering obeisances. I gave a little talk on obeisances. That's the most purifying thing. When we can offer obeisances to the spiritual master, that opens the channel for the internal potency, no matter what condition we're in. Plus, it's mercy. It, Guru Krishna Prasade. It's the combination of Krishna and the spiritual master. So then, you learned how to tolerate. So that's Samartha Diksha. Now there's two more left after that. So I'm going to read this. If one can fix his mind without on Krishna without deviation, he can attain a steadfast position in Krishna consciousness called Shantaras. When one attains Shantaras, unflinching faith in Krishna is established and all material desires cease. So what's the quality of Shantaras, which is also the same foundation that's in all the other rasas? This is the baseline, where the foundation that everything's built on. So I skipped a paragraph here. It says, so we're talking about the diksha, or tolerance. So he's ready. He's ready to tolerate. Doesn't say he's tolerating. He says he's ready to tolerate. And when he actually controls the tongue, the urges of the tongue and the gentle, then it's called driti. Driti means determined. He's got the determination now. So one who's, he understands, but it's still hard to maintain. Now he's understanding what I have to do it. Now he's doing what has to be done in order to maintain it. And then the last is called dhira, undisturbed. So here we're talking about uninterrupted and unmotivated. So that means there isn't anything that can break his concentration on Krishna as his eternal servant. So even though the reactions of the modes are taking place within his body, the karma is manifesting, he, by his knowledge and surrender and service, he's turning every situation into a situation to make advancement. That's the mode of goodness. All the gates are illuminated with knowledge. It's just like it gives one the perspective. Prabhupada translates the word intelligence is the power to understand things or analyze things in the proper perspective. Purport to 10, 4, and 5. So this is basically how this sadhana, this prema sadhana that we're following. Sadhana means that which is going to deliver you to prema. That's just like in that etavad eva jignatvam syam. It says that this eta, it has to be searched out. That's our sadhana. Everything we're doing is searching out how to connect this up to developing prema bhakti. And then you're successful. It's just a question of time. So I'll read the verse again, and then we can have any questions or comments or take breakfast. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity, so you're talking about the sadhana, is that by which men can obtain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Transcendent, specifically there because we're out of the modes. That's the first thing, understanding these modes, getting out of these modes. Don't be touched by them anymore. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. The self cannot be satisfied otherwise. That's just, it's got that little class there. You can't touch anything. So please, if there's a comment or question or correction or criticism, anything. All right. Going once, going twice. Thank you. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Jai. Hare Krishna. All right. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.